Well, thank you, guys. What a joy to be able to worship together. Good to see you here. Happy Father's Day. You know, we can actually say that pretty much, I think, to everyone, because everybody has a father, right? So we can all be joyful or be happy in the fact that we have dads and that none of us are left out in that category. But, you know, I don't know what your experience with your dad was like. I only know what my experience with my dad was like, and I sometimes make some assumptions about what my kids' life with their dad was like. I'm never real certain about that, whether that was good or not, but I understand they're going to celebrate Father's Day with me today, so at least I'll get a pizza out of it. You know, Father's Day has always been, or Father's Day messages, I guess, for me, has always not held a lot of anticipation. I was going to bring a stack of books that I have on my shelf that are mine on being a father, and I thought, nah, that's too cumbersome. I wouldn't know where I'd put it. So there's a lot of books out about fathers, and every year most of us hear some kind of a Father's Day message, or maybe not, but we've all heard our share of Father's Day's messages. And as a dad, you know, before I was married and I'd hear Father's Day messages, I was pretty arrogant, I think, and thought, man, I know all that. And, you know, then you have kids of your own and you start to wonder where all that knowledge that I have actually plugs in and applies, because sometimes it's hard to find a piece that fits. And that's sort of what the message is going to be about. If you look on your bulletin, the third point is titled, as I was thinking through on this, Puzzles with Missing Pieces. How many of you ever put a jigsaw puzzle together and come up to the end and not even be able to finish it, because, or figure out how to finish it because of the number of pieces that are missing? But man, it's really difficult to appreciate a puzzle that has pieces missing. It's just never finished, you know. And so you're left with this thing, this puzzle that has a picture on it, but, you know, those blank spots just leave a lot to be desired. And as I think about parenting, and in particular being a dad, that is sort of how I look at my experience as a dad. You know, there's a lot of things that come up that you try to apply the knowledge that you have, and yet sometimes you just have no idea if the piece that you're trying to put in that spot is really the right piece or not. And sometimes you come up wanting and with a sense of dissatisfaction in how you applied yourself in that situation. So we're going to be talking about hope also. It's the last point. It's not on this. But where would we be without hope in any area of life? But in particular, as a dad, I find that to be a very important part of the puzzle. So we're going to take a break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about us, or dads at least, and our role with our kids. We're going to talk about God and His role with all of us being His kids. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the puzzle that has the missing pieces and how do we deal with that. So let's enjoy some fellowship together, and then we'll come back in 15 minutes or so and jump into this, okay? Father's Day 2012. Title is Dad's God and Hope. When I started talking earlier about being a dad, I really don't know how to think about fatherhood and being in the midst of it. You never know how things are going in the midst of it. And you hope and pray that God does something special. And really, after this morning, I think I failed. All three of my kids were back here talking and arguing, and one accused the other of lying, and you just wonder you just wonder, don't you? I mean, oh yeah, we never really know where we are or where our kids are and the things that we're trying to get across. And again, I don't know what your experience with your dad was like. My dad was not a Christian, and I'm not sure if he ever trusted Christ before he died. But certainly the things that are important to me was not important to my dad at all. And so it wasn't until I got away from home and trusted Christ while I was in the Navy. And after that, after the Navy, I got involved with the Navigators and lived in several Navigator homes. The second one, they had kids, and that was my first experience of watching a dad, a Christian dad, raise his kids, and it was quite an eye-opener for me. But like I said before, I was pretty arrogant. I thought I knew the answers and everything. I got to tell you a story. When I got out of the Navy and before I was with this family, I was living at home in Pennsylvania, helping a friend in upstate Pennsylvania do some work on a home, and they had a young boy, Michael, who would have been probably 3 at the time, and he was supposed to be taking a nap. We were down having some afternoon coffee, you know, taking a break between all the work, and Michael upstairs was not behaving himself, and I said, I'll go up and I'll take care of it, you know. That was my first clue of how different a mindset kids have compared with an adult. And I should have known, because my mindset was very different growing up than my parents. And I was not a class A child. I'm sure my parents would agree with that. But, you live and you learn, and then you have kids of your own. And a lot of these verses that I'm going to be sharing with you are verses that you're familiar with, and they're really applicable to all of us, because whether you are a dad or a grandparent or single without kids or young and not even married or whatever, these verses have something to say to all of us. The first is Ephesians 6. This follows right on the heels of Paul's admonitions to those who are married, husband and wives, and how they should relate. And it's interesting, Ephesians 5 and 6 talks about all kinds of relationships, husband and wife, parent and child, if you want to call it employer, employee, although they use the terms slave and slave owner there, and it sort of fits, doesn't it, with being an employee. But when he's talking about children, he says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." Now, when I ask you, kids, not kids, but those of you who are with your parents or around your parents, I see several of you, how do you put your arm around you? When you hear that, what do you think? Honor your or obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So what do you think when you hear that? As wherever you are in life, do you feel honored by your children? As you look back, do you have a sense that they respect you for the job that you did as a parent? You know, that's hard to say, and it's always hard to know. But as a dad, and talking to dads, we are to live our lives with our children in such a way that they can honor us as their dads. To make it easy, in a sense, for them to obey us by knowing what the regulations are, what the standards are, what the expectations are, so that they can obey and not have a guessing game go on all the time. And we're not to provoke our children to anger, but to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Colossians 3:21 says something similar. Fathers, do not provoke. There's that word again. And it means to antagonize, irritate, alienate, or annoy your children, lest they become discouraged. We get the first hint of what God's desire for dads is as far as how a dad is to raise his children from Deuteronomy 6. There's a lot of other passages, but I chose this one. It's familiar to us. But one and two says, "Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, that your days may be long." He is talking to the dads here, and he's saying to the dads, you have to know what God's regulations are, and you have to obey them, and you have to understand them, so that you can pass them on to your children. It goes on in verse 6 to say, "And these words that I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you," with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. And when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. It is the Lord your God you shall fear. Him you shall serve, and by His name you shall swear. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the people who are around you, for the Lord your God in your midst is a jealous God. God has given us men who are fathers, or who are going to be fathers, or who anticipate being a father at some point, certain guideposts for us to avail ourselves to, so that we are a certain kind of person even before we have kids in the house. Someone who knows God, fears God, walks with God, and is concerned about the things of God. So that tells what God expects of dads with their kids. But God also gives us in His Word some thoughts about His own thoughts about being a father. We know God calls Himself, and Jesus called His Father, Father. And He taught us that when we pray, we are to pray, "Our Father who is in heaven." So we have a father relationship with the God of the universe, who we're told takes an interest in us. Do you ever think, and I know you do, that the Creator, God, looks at you as His little child? And He wants for you the best that there is. Jesus talked about what kind of a father is it that when a child asks for a stone, He'll give him a piece of bread, He'll give him a stone. Or when he asks for something to eat, He'll give him a snake. No father does that. How much of a better gift does your heavenly Father give than what your earthly father gives? Jesus taught us that God is very concerned about His children. Hebrews 12, 5 through 11 says this, And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by Him. For the Lord disciplines the one He loves and chastises every son, and you can fill in daughter there also, whom He receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as His child. For what child is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have an earthly father who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, and this is where it gets into dad's roles. A dad's role is to discipline his children. He disciplines us for our good, that we may share His holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So verse 10 it says, "For they, earthly fathers, disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them." And so it's important to recognize that God wants us to discipline our children. What is it to discipline? It doesn't necessarily mean spanking, but it means that it's the word that's used there is the same that we get the word gymnasium from. You probably have all seen the ads on the television where gymnasts are getting together in London and, well, all kinds of Olympians. But gymnastics is one of the things, and the kind of training that they subject themselves to is the kind of discipline that this is talking about. Training so that you can accomplish what it is you're trying to do. They, you and I, are to discipline our children for this short time as it seems best. But it doesn't always work, does it? Sometimes we don't know what is best, especially as they get older. You know, I really thought we, Audrey and I, were doing a good job when the kids were 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, maybe. But after that, you know, something happens to kids when they hit 10. And all of a sudden they start to think outside the, I was going to say outside the box, outside the little area that you have roped off for them, and they have their own ideas and they begin to question why and everything, and all of a sudden parenting is not as easy as it used to be. Remember that, young people, when you have kids and you hit that, and because you have to rethink the whole thing. Puzzles with missing pieces. I said before that when you work at parenting and you're trying to put all these pieces in their place and you come up and can't find the ones that goes in that particular spot, it really does get frustrating at times. I cringe at some of the times I expressed my frustration to my kids. And just the outright anger that I felt for whatever reasons. It's hard to think about doing something for somebody's good when you're angry. But I had some missing pieces. Dads are not perfect. You hear that, guys? I know, sorry. But when it comes to applying biblical principles and discipline and different things to kids, man, it is so easy to get lost in the maze and just blow it, lose it. From the book Manly Dominion by Mark Chansky, he says, "Now, dear parent, look into the eyes of your children. Not only have you passed on to them eternity by giving life, a soul is born at that point of conception, an eternal soul. Not only have you passed on to them eternity, but you've also passed on to them depravity, a sinful nature." And he quotes Psalm 51:5, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." It doesn't mean that every mom that conceives is living in sin. What it means is that every mom and dad is a sinner, and that is passed on to your children. And so kids start out not as a blank slate, but as a person who is pointed in the wrong direction, as it were. And all of parenthood is to move them into the right direction and keep them going in that direction, that they might come to know God as their personal Savior and live lives that honor and glorify Him. You talk about a heavy task. As parents, we've been God's instrument in passing on to them not only life, but also death. We've passed on to them the guilt and pollution of our father Adam's sin. Through us, they've been poisoned with a moral disease that dooms them to eternal death. Unless something else happens. Napoleon was a ruthless and harsh dictator. While dying of agonizing stomach cancer, he gave to his Italian physician this dying command. And he said, "Return to Italy, visit my son, and watch over his health and endeavor by every resource of your art to ward off this dire inheritance of his father's disease." Here's Napoleon. If this evil tyrant was so earnestly compassionate toward his child, how could we fail to exhaust all means to bring our children to the great physician of souls in order to save them from the very disease which we poisoned them with? You, Father, have been solemnly commissioned by God as the ultimate guardian of that soul. You know, that's pretty heavy. And it's those kind of things that didn't really thrill me when I would hear Father's Day messages. There's another story about a man, Peter the Great, in the 1700s. He passed a law, or made a law. He was a king. He made a law making it illegal for any nobleman to mistreat or beat any of his servants. But sometime after he passed that law, he himself got angry with his gardener and beat him, and his gardener eventually died. And when Peter the Great heard of it, he exclaimed with remorse, "Alas! I've civilized my own subjects, I've conquered other nations, yet I have not been able to civilize or conquer myself." Proverbs 25:28 says, "A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls." We, men, dads, are the puzzles with the missing pieces. Trying to raise children who have missing pieces, within a family that has missing pieces, in a society that has missing pieces, and even within a church that has missing pieces. Is there hope? God says He is our Father and He disciplines us. He works in us to conform us to His will, to that of His Son, so that we might be able to do the same for those who follow, whether a mother or a dad. God is at work in us so that we can be at work in our children. We're told in the Scriptures to put off the old man and to put on the new. We have responsibilities as parents in our children's lives. It's not, let go and, they'll work it out themselves. God has given us a responsibility. But it also says in 1 Timothy that we are to discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. So, God has called me and you, who are dads, to be a dad, or maybe a grandparent, or whatever the situation might be, and those roles intermingle somewhat, but not entirely. We are to discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. But we are, one of the things that must happen is that as men, disciplining ourselves to be what God wants us to be, we must never give up. We must never give in to the desire to just get away from it all. And it's interesting how many ways we find to do that. When my kids were small, I got into several hobbies, whether it was bow hunting or shooting. Enjoyed shooting handguns and worked as a armed security guard for a while. So we always had to practice, or we told ourselves that we had to practice. But I spent a lot of time and a lot of money away from my family doing my thing, because I sort of wanted to get away from it. But we can never give up at being the person God wants us to be. We can never give in and say, man, I can't do this. It's beyond me. I don't know how to raise my kid. I don't know what the answer is, what the missing pieces are. I'm just going to give in. I'm going to give up. That is not an option. And never make excuses. That's an easy one, because we can always talk ourselves into the idea that, yeah, but you don't understand. My kids are whatever. Or I just don't know how to do it, or whatever it might be. Never give up. Never give in. Never make excuses. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? This proverb says. We have to keep on ourselves as dads, as men, as people. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Presenting yourself to God as a living sacrifice is your spiritual worship to God. Presenting yourself as a living sacrifice is your spiritual worship. That's how God has called us to worship Him, by giving ourselves as living sacrifices. And we're told to not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That is a part of being a dad, giving yourself for someone else. I like to talk about apple trees and root systems. I'm no horticulturist, but I do know a thing about apple trees. We had apple trees on the farm that I grew up on that were probably as high as the peak on this building, maybe not quite that high, but you needed a long ladder to get up there. And every once in a while, a tree would die. And my dad would take, he had a Caterpillar tractor that was sort of like a bulldozer kind of a thing. And he would tie a chain around the trunk of this tree. And he would get up on the tractor and he would start inching forward until he put tension on. And then he would work the tractor forward and back, loosening up this tree until it would come. Of course, he'd already cut the top off of it, so it didn't land on top of him. But just to pull out the stump, and this huge, maybe 10 feet in diameter, ball of dirt would come up with the roots of this thing. And then he'd unhook the cable, actually, and he'd drive away and look at me and said, "Okay, it's yours." And so my job was to go in there with an axe and a pick and to clean all the dirt off of that stump so it could be burnt. And then you'd have to get, because it's still in the ground, you would have to get down in the hole that it left and with an axe start cutting away at these roots, huge things that would still be connected and down into the ground. Awesome. Amazing. That tree, huge trees, was being held up by that root system. So what's that got to do with this? Guys, you need roots. If you're going to be a dad and a successful dad, or even a mentor with somebody, you need roots. There has to be more than what people see above the surface. You have got to build your root system. Here's some of the things that I've learned over the years and have tried to apply to myself. And again, even though you do this, anyhow, we'll talk about that in a bit. Read the Bible through at least once every year. Make that a habit. Get to know the Word and what it says. It is God's Word to us. We should know what our Heavenly Father wants of us. Journal your observations that you glean from your reading. Listen to the Bible or biblical messages whenever you have downtime. You know, whether it's commuting or working out or walking the dog or whatever it is. Now with iPods and MP3 players and everything, even on your telephone, you don't even need an extra device anymore. You can put this stuff on there and listen to it as you're out and about. When I took a week off just before Memorial Day, I drove from Wichita to western Kansas and a couple days later back to Wichita, and then from Wichita to western Missouri, and a couple days later came back. And in that amount of time, I listened to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and Romans, plus several messages. And I was alone. I don't like the radio all that much, and so this is how I spent my time driving, listening and praying and talking, and, you know, praying is talking. I wasn't talking to myself. I was praying there. But listen to the Bible or biblical messages, you know, when you have a chance. Take opportunities to get it into your system. Memorize scriptures. Meditate on the scriptures. Get involved in some kind of Bible study somewhere, whether it's one of the 1A groups that we have or some way, men's endeavor. Get involved somehow to get other people's thoughts on the Bible into your head also, and become a part of an accountability group. Michael Craven, he sent an article out, a letter actually, to for Father's Day, and he says this as we close. Fathers are to love their wives as Christ loves the church, modeling the love of the Father in their most important earthly relationships. Fathers are to care for their children as our Father in heaven cares for us. And finally, fathers play a primary role in teaching their children the truth about reality. It is the father who should instruct his children in their understanding of the world from a consciously and informed Christian worldview. It is the father who is essential for sending his children forth into a biblical view of reality and a faith in Jesus Christ that is rooted in solid understanding. It is time for fathers to return to honorable manhood and reconsider their priorities and align them with God's commands, decrees, and laws. Teaching these things to your children when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Deuteronomy 6, verse 7. I don't know about you, but I failed a lot at being a dad. And in every other way. And so how do you face life knowing that you're a failure? Knowing that you can't do everything that God wants us to do as a person, as a Christian, as a parent? How do you get along knowing that you can't do what God wants you to do? The only way is through hope. God has given us the ability to look to Him and put our hope and our confidence not in ourselves, but in Him. Knowing that He loves our kids much more than we do, He desires things for them that we can't even dream of. We have to put our confidence in something else because I am missing too many pieces. Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." Oh, I pray that often for all of you and for a lot of people. That the God of hope Himself would fill you with all joy and peace in your believing, in your faith and confidence that you are putting in the finished work of Christ. In that believing, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope, so that we don't have to despair. We don't have to question what is going on, or when I make mistakes, I can correct it and don't have to worry that it's going to ruin my kids' lives forever. You know, there's so many things that we have to trust God for. I pray that you can do that. Join with me in prayer, please. Father in heaven, we thank you for the dads that we have, both in our lives, our own dads. For those dads who are here, no matter the age, our kids are always our kids. Father, I pray that you would be at work in their lives, that they might give themselves to becoming a man of God. Someone who can walk with confidence, as it were, before their children. And even when they fail, they can have confidence in you. So, Father, I pray that you would build up a generation of godly people through our influence. Father, may we guide our children in such a way that they would have a sense of the confidence that we have in you and learn to trust you also. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.